Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Ari Rostegar with Rostegar Property Company. Welcome, Ari.
Thanks so much for having me. I love the show.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Before we get too far into things, tell us about Rostegar Property Company. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, you know, look, we're a vertically integrated real estate investment firm. We've invested in 38 cities, 12 states, 7 asset classes, 2 countries. Very, very successfully, actually. And I'm here to kind of walk you through what we think we're seeing in the kind of macro level in the U.S. and share with you some of the great reasons why we love Atlanta, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, and why we'll be focusing on Atlanta on this next big round of acquisitions. We're looking to do about $1 billion in acquisitions in vintage multifamily, which is kind of 30 to 40 year old product that, you know, we kind of gut renovate and bring up to a Class A snub, and, you know, why we think Atlanta is poised to be something really special.
All right. So let's get into it. So, you mentioned you're doing work all over the place. Why is your sight set on Atlanta?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for Atlanta, right? It's a sprawled metroplex. You know, it is a highly diversified economy. And just a few things about Atlanta, because, you know, at Rastigar, you know, we very much see ourselves as a data analytics company. All the decisions that we make are based upon data and looking at trends and, you know, really governed by math. You know, we're based in Austin, Texas, although we are, you know, obviously all over the country. And a lot of things I think people don't know about Atlanta, aside from being an awesome city, great food, great culture, location-wise, very easy to travel in and out of. One of the reasons why, you know, Delta has chosen, it's actually has the largest airport in the country. But what shocked me in learning more about Atlanta for our investment thesis and why we're targeting it, one of the reasons why, is by 2022, Atlanta will be larger than Philadelphia. If you wrap your head around that fact, it's pretty extraordinary. And you have over, you know, just in 2017, 90,000 new people moved to Atlanta. 75,000 people moved in 2018. It has very low corporate tax burden, which is big. You know, it's home to 16 Fortune 500 companies, you know, as you know. And these are the reasons why cities do well long term. And, you know, it's common sense, but, you know, common sense being not so common, is this is where the jobs are. It's a young culture. It's highly diversified in all regards. And it's a place that you can still have relatively, you know, affordable living compared to other, you know, fair weather Sunbelt cities. So all of these things really pose for great growth. And it's also really has, you know, a lot of great people, you know, great things about just the colleges. I mean, there's been all these different things we've seen of it's ranked number 6 best city, you know, best college city in the United States. I mean, that's a massive, massive driver of young folks coming in every year and staying in Atlanta after they've already had their degrees. So, you know, these are a lot of the things that, you know, that are really attractive. And it's a very young, young city, which shows where the growth can be. People laying down roots, having kids, growing, because over 25% of Atlanta, residents actually are between the ages of 28 and 38 years old. That's an astronomical concept. And 80% of people ages 18 to 34 are renters. So from an investment standpoint, being a multifamily investor as I am, that's a tremendous opportunity to invest in apartments, because there's so many people in a city of that size that are willing to rent. And and obviously it's a vibrant culture, great, you know, major sports team city. And I know I'm kind of the, you know, giving an Atlanta commercial at the moment, but you know, we love the city so much for so many different reasons.
So now, do you see the folks coming here, young people that are maybe graduating from college somewhere else and then coming here, or
both,
including college as part of their decision?
It's both. It's both, because, you know, when you have a city that still has, you know, relatively affordable housing and dichotomy between, you know, San Francisco or New York, you know, that prices is just, you know, the cost of living is just out of control, right? So when you can have a city that has great sports, has great culture, has good music, a lot of young professionals, you know, these are major, major drivers of why people want to be there. And another thing about Atlanta, although it's a sprawled metroplex, what's unique about it, it's very pedestrian friendly in the urban core, which, you know, millennials, and I'm actually the oldest millennial, which is, you know, kind of funny, I guess I'm aging myself, are things that people are looking for. They're looking for all of that culture, and Atlanta, you know, has all of them.
So now when you're kind of targeting areas to invest in, you mentioned some of the criteria. Is this something that you're seeing just in the South in general that is becoming more attractive to folks maybe in the North and in the West? And like you said, in these higher priced areas where it just becomes silly at some point, like if everybody can now work remotely or a lot of people can work remotely, wouldn't I rather have access to some of this cool stuff and not pay a fortune in overhead for myself personally? Are you seeing some of that impacting the decision-making as well?
I mean, you're now talking to the crux of the thesis, right? You know, that is the thesis. Are we focused on the Sun Belts? And the cities that we love are Nashville, Tennessee, right? Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, Phoenix, Arizona, Austin, Texas, Dallas, Texas, and for all the same reasons, is because that's where the big tech companies are moving to. That's where the young culture is. Those are the cities that are vibrant, and those are where all the people are leaving from the Californias of the and the New Yorks of the world, where they're migrating to, right? And I was joking the other day on, you know, I don't know, on Yahoo Finance, I think, that, you know, California and New York are the land of the flea, and Texas and Florida and Georgia, as an example, are the land of the free.
Now, if you were advising maybe government officials to make their city more attractive for this kind of growth, what are some of the must-haves and what are some of the things that they should consider not having?
It's a fantastic question. And Texas has done a tremendous job of attracting cities, and they need to open up their checkbook. You know, they need to give tax incentives. You know, they need to make it a favorable business environment. And the dichotomy is California. California, they took one of the greatest states, which by on a GDP basis, kind of like Texas, is a country. You know, it's not, you know, just a state. And they've made it so difficult through policy, through taxation, corporate taxation, state and local income taxes, that people just don't want to be there. I mean, they cannot afford to be there. And so, you know, the states need to step up, give these incentives, whether it's through bonds, whether it's through tax credits, you know, whether it's, you know, contributing, you know, a state-owned land for new headquarters. But they need to create these an environment that happens and not be penny smart, pound foolish, because, you know, they need to invest, you know, in these companies, so to speak, you know, through these various modalities to attract the workforce, which is going to then drive housing prices and car prices and, you know, all the other ancillary geometric growth factors that happen When you bring major employers, like, you know, you look at Austin, Tesla just bought 2,000 acres and is building the largest gigafactory in the world. And they negotiated a great deal with the governor, great deal with the mayor, which was great for them, great for the city of Austin. Apple has bought 140 acres in North Austin. And, you know, just as an example, to build what will, you know, what will probably end up being their headquarters, you know, in 2025. And that's all because of the work that's being done at the city and the state level to incentivize them to come.
And then for people who think these are kind of corporate giveaways, they're not really understanding the leverage that that has.
Oh, come on.
And then the
absolutely
the multiplier effect
giveaway. No, this is creating better in better living conditions for the employees, because by doing that, they can pay their employees more. They can put them in locations where they have better houses, better school districts, you know, and I don't want to go into this trickle down economics, you know, all that other nonsense. I'm not a political guy. You know, I see the truth in President-elect, you know, Biden as an example, and some of the things that, you know, current President Trump, you know, has done. I think both of them have made mistakes. Both have done good things. Right. And I always say I'm an American. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I see the best in both. But this is an investment. This is an investment in allowing big employers to create an environment that will ultimately serve their workforce. That's what this is. So it is about the workforce, not the corporation.
Now, speaking of investment, you said you're going to invest a lot of money in the Atlanta area. How do people kind of get involved with that? Like, do you have investors that people can participate, or is this kind of a private company that this is your company and you use your own funds?
Yeah, well, look, and so we actually, the best way to kind of go about it is, look, our investors are public pension funds, family offices, insurance companies, but there are some, you know, pretty big opportunities, you know, for, you know, for accredited investors in general to participate with us. And what they can do if they're interested in learning more about our thesis, they can go to rastigarproperty.com. Or they can just Google my name. It's pretty quickly they can figure out what we do. But if they go to rastigarproperty.com, which is just R-A-S-T-E-G-A-R property singular.com, or Google Ari Rastigar, they can find us pretty easily on LinkedIn or social media or on our website. And, you know, we can get to understand their goals and understand what they're doing and see if they're qualified and if there's something that we can do for them. And if there's something that we can help serve them for their long-term outcomes. There certainly are opportunities for them.
And that is part of your business, right? You're not just building and reselling. This is, you have a fund that people can participate in and financially benefit from the work that you're doing.
I mean, the nature of private equity is, you know, is ultimately somebody's doing the work, managing the properties, creating the value, and then bringing in capital. Certainly with our balance sheet, we're very involved as well. And, you know, look, money is unlimited in this world. Deals are not. So, and right now, chasing yield and finding good current cash flow, insulating from global risk, and doing it in a very safe environment is the name of the game. And I'd like to believe that's our specialty. You know, we're not ones that are swinging for the fences and looking for these astronomical returns. You know, we're very conservative in our approach, very prudent, very focused around, you know, capital preservation. And yes, there are some opportunities that, you know, once we understand, you know, who the people are, I don't ever talk about them and, you know, general areas and, you know, because, you know, people's lives and people's things and goals are so individualized, but if they'd like to talk with us, they certainly can find us and, we can provide them some of the things that we have and learn more about them. I'm always most interested in learning, you know, about the customer and what their goals are and what they're trying to achieve and see if that fits with our long-term strategy.
And then the folks you're looking to are the accredited investors, right?
Or institutions and pensions. And we run the whole gamut. We run a highly institutional shop. So, you know, from public pension funds all the way down to accredited investors, we've run the entire gambit, you know, in our work.
And then most of your investments are in multifamily units. And
we're all over. We have a 1,000 home master plan development going up in Kyle, Texas, which is about 15 miles south of Austin, which is just booming. We have 575,000 square feet of industrial going up in the opportunity zone, right by the Austin airport, very close to Tesla's new development. We have multifamily properties we're buying. We certainly are opportunistic in our approach. We're looking for deep value. We're looking for special situations that we can go in, create value. We have our own property management company. We have our own construction company that we work with exclusively in addition to the PE side. So we are both, the fancy way to say it is we're vertically integrated. So we do all the work, and it's very much a family business. You know, my sister-in-law is our chief operating officer. My wife is our creative director. And we have some really, really smart, dedicated folks. And what I'm most proud about at Rastigar is the culture and the love and the integrity that, you know, that our team brings every day, because they're not there to collect a paycheck. They're there to build something great and ultimately take the kind of Amazon approach and just being obsessed with our customers, being obsessed with their experience and making sure that our tenants are happy, healthy, and safe, especially during this COVID time.
So now, how deep are you into Atlanta right now? Have you started investing?
Right now, Atlanta, we are in deal-making process. We have several things that we're looking at. It's in our pipeline. We have a very, very large capital raise that I can't go into the details of just yet, but we'll be launching soon. And Atlanta is there's about 5 cities in the U.S. that are our main target. Atlanta is on that target. So we're in the process of sourcing that deal flow. But I assure you, you and I will be talking in the coming months to share with you some of the acquisitions we made, because there's some very attractive things there. And we are very, very much long-term committed to that city, because we know where it's going, and we see the writing on the wall, and we believe in it.
And then what could we be doing for you? How can we help? What do you need more of?
You know, we just need more information, more access, and just understanding what the people want, where people are living and where they're going and why, and, you know, what things are opening up, whether it's music venues or restaurants, and very much just understanding the culture and, you know, and just the vibrancy of the city. And the more that we know that, the more that we understand how the city is growing and what people are enjoying or what they're not liking. And I always like to just to hear that stuff and just know, because, you know, we might think we know on a spreadsheet, but until, you know, there's boots on the ground and you start really dealing with real people, you don't really start to understand and put your hand on kind of the beating pulse of the city. So the more that we can understand that, the better investment decisions we can make.
Good stuff. And once again, the website?
It is Rastigar, which is R-A-S as in Sam, T as in Tom, E-G-A-R, property.com. Or if you just type in Rastigar into Google, or R-E Rastigar, A-R-I, you'll find a wealth of information. Our website pops up at the top, and you can find us, fill out a contact form. You can find us on LinkedIn or Facebook. My personal Instagram is just @Rastigar. And it's pretty easy to find us if they're looking for us. So they'll be able to find us pretty quickly.
Well, good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Ari. We really appreciate the work that you're doing around the country and here in Atlanta.
And please keep me in the loop. If there's any way that I can help, I'd love to join. I love your city so much, and I love listening to the show, and y'all just do such great stuff. And I know why your listeners are so loyal to you. So thank you. It's been an honor for me to be on the show.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.